two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
It's time for the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show with your hosts, Jake Scott and the coach, Tim Lacoe.
JP Chunga in for Jake Scott. But welcome in to Jazz Game Night, brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru, featuring the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. It is learn more at your Subaru story at markmillersubaru.com. Jazz fall to the Kings 121-113. Hopefully hear from Will Hardy down in Sacramento, but I don't believe many beat writers traveled to this one, so we may just only be hearing from players inside the locker room. But after this loss to the Kings, I thought it was a great response considering how things went Friday night against the Bucks, who are clearly one of the leaders in the Eastern Conference, and might be the best team in the entire league. A good response against one of the top-tier teams in the West tonight, Tim.
Yeah, a couple things stand out. I think night to night, so back to back, you see the difference between the best defense in the NBA in the Bucks and one of, you know, a team in the 20s. And really, it's a battle of real estate. And time after time, you know, whether it be off handoff or isolation, you know, guys just flat penetrating like Dunn did on the and one at the end of the game. The defense for the Kings is a little bit porous, and the Jazz were aggressive. You know, they got 30 shots at the rim. So I think that was the game plan, to really not settle and, you know, try to get to the rim. And I thought the Jazz really competed well. Sacramento special offensively, no doubt about it. They were able to make more plays than the Jazz down the stretch.
Points in the paint advantage, 70-50 in favor of the Utah Jazz. So they were attacking the basket and had to start with Walker Kessler, 31 points, a career night for him, 11 rebounds, the first Jazz rookie to put up that stat line in terms of a double-double in that respect, with 30 points and 10-plus rebounds. And he had a block. Walker Kessler was outstanding in this game in the way that he was playing.
I think I missed two shots, you know, not counting his free throws. And Walker's going to spend a lot of time, I promise you, in the summer on his free throws, because that is the only thing you look at his game and say, man, that needs some work. But he even showed us a little post action tonight over the left shoulder. You know, Walker, he was sensational. 14 for 16. Again, always so active on the offensive glass, whether he gets the rebound or tips it out. And you know, double double we talked about it last night, his ability to get rebounds in bunches is now a thing. It wasn't long ago, and you remember this, that Coach Hardy would say, hey, we just don't have a guy that'll go gobble rebounds. Amazing what, in development in a year, what a guy can do. So, again, we've talked about him a ton, but I thought he was the story, and I thought he was the reason the Jazz were in the game.
He had a play there in that fourth, maybe it was the third quarter, where he went vertically up on Harrison Barnes on one end, ran the floor on the other end and ended up with a dunk right on in transition. Like those type of things, him running the floor is so pivotal to him contributing to winning basketball that you're seeing at this early stage of development. That's going to be huge towards the rest of his career because he already has really good habits that are starting to form under the first year under Will Hardy.
There's no doubt. And it's, basketball is such a, you know, it's an instinctual game, but it is a habitual game. And one of the things that you can always, you know, Coach Majerus used to tell big guys, one thing you can always do is you can block out and you can run the floor. And both things really help us. And you talk about Walker affecting a shot at the rim and then following up. You know, everybody else is, you know, unaware that he's already in the play and, you know, dunks that basketball. So many things to be excited about with him. And, you know, but I think that his mobility is the big thing because he's not going to be – we're not far from Walker switching out on guards. Like, that's going to happen at some point. And, you know, his mobility is such that he can handle it. It's really kind of a exciting thought.
Kelly Olynyk had 17 points, 10 assists, 8 rebounds for the Jazz. He split some playmaking duties with Talen Horton-Tucker, who had 9 points, 4 assists. And Ochai Agbaji, a good bounce back for him after a dreadful one against Milwaukee, 20 points, 4 assists. 3 blocks for Ochai, and he went 3 of 7 from 3, 8 of 15 from the field. So good response from the Kansas product.
And David mentioned he got off to a slow start tonight on the heels of a slow start last night, or, you know, a bad night last night, 1 for 8. And to me, it's impressive that he flipped it. You know, I think that that's a sign. You know, he hasn't always been able to kind of shake it off, but tonight he did. In 36 minutes, he was, you know, had a major impact on this game. I thought his defense was great. How about 3 blocks? And, you know, his length, we talked about that. But his ability to affect on the defensive end is just that's a constant. So when you get 20 from him, a great thing. 4 assists, too. And we talked about, you know, his playmaking can improve. But I love seeing 4 assists and 1 turnover.
And he won a challenge.
First time I've ever, in my time here, that's the first time Utah's won a challenge that I can remember.
And it's often Ochai bat away from Harrison Barnes. Was going to be a foul on him. Ended up getting the possession back. So that wins you a possession. It was within 3 minutes left to go in the game. So it gave them a chance at least to keep it close. But the fact that they're in this game was remarkable with how things went. And let's hear from the head man and how they were able to get... Oh, no, coach. My bad. I'm sorry about that.
Hold on a minute. I'm going to work on my impression.
Yeah. We do have a coach in studio. His name is Tim Lacombe. So I'll ask the coach, how were they able to keep it this close against a team that is a top squad and they didn't have 3 of the top scorers for the Jazz?
I thought it was aggression level. And you can look at numbers to prove that. We talked about number of shots at the rim. The Jazz, with their head down, with that dunk that was late, they end up getting 33 shots at the rim, and they finished 25 of them. So that's, you know, that's in the top 20% of performance this year at the rim, both their number of shots and their accuracy. So I think that shows their aggressiveness, and then they out-rebounded Sacramento. Another night where they have double figures on the offensive glass, another hustle stat, and their defense. You know, they had, as a team, I thought they forced Sacramento with some tough possessions. The zone, they got in and out of that. It affected their rhythm. And so I think all those things kind of in kind reason why the Jazz were able to stay in the game.
The My Subaru Is campaign features real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some of the Mark Miller Subaru owner stories and share your own at mysubaruis.com. Say goodbye to our network stations. We'll be back Monday as the Jazz hosts the Suns. Tip time is at 7 o'clock here at Vivid Arena. For those of you sticking around, we'll try to head into the locker room and hear from some players straight ahead. You're listening to the Utah Jazz Basketball.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's time for the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show with your hosts, Jake Scott and the coach, Tim LeCoe.
No Jake, just JP Chunga. Welcome into Jazz Game Night, brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru, featuring the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share your Subaru story at markmillersubaru.com. Jazz fall to the Kings, 121-113, third straight that they've dropped. But quite the performance from Walker Kessler. He had a career-high 31 points. But the rebounds, pivotal. Jazz fans, Safe Light Auto Glass is proud to present this year's Master of the Glass Rebound Program. At the end of the regular season, Safe Light will donate $5 to a charitable organization for each rebound secured by this team's rebound leader. Kessler had 11 rebounds, four of them offensive, and the Jazz edged the Kings on the glass 54-51. Walker Kessler's rebounding has been pivotal for this team all year, Tim.
Yeah, it has, and he's gotten better at it. I think in the beginning of the year, it is such a big change. I mean, you play big-time college basketball, right, and you think you've played against big guys. But we went ad nauseum last night at the size of the NBA. It's just freakish. And so there is a period of time where the young guy's got to, he's got to kind of face those bigger guys, and he hadn't had to face big guys for a long time, but he's done a great job, and he's become a very good rebounder in his first year.
And quite the matchup with Sabonis, because he wants to play bully ball. He'll go right into your chest, and he's one of the best bigs that we have in this entire league, the way that he facilitates and passes. It's a good matchup for Walker to go out and play well tonight.
Oh, it is, and I think he bothers Sabonis a little bit, his length, around the rim particularly. And Malik Monk, we didn't go into that, but he had
his objection.
I watched it. I mean, there was contact, but I don't know, an NBA guy with the ball above the rim probably should be able to finish it. And hand is part of the ball. I did look that up, and it is. I thought kids just said that on the playground, but it is. So if you're in contact with the ball and you get your hand hit, hand's part of the ball, man. Finish the dunk. So he freaked out for no reason.
Monk missed the dunk. But Walker Kessler is down in Sacramento, and he caught up with Craig Bowler-Jack. Let's hear from him.
Last night, you guys disappointed with the 28-point loss in Milwaukee. The fight with this team is unbelievable. What was the approach and the attitude coming in?
Yeah, just like you said, we're all fighters, and going to this game, we knew that was going to be a battle. But we knew we weren't going to quit, regardless of who was sitting or not. So, super proud of this team and how they played. Obviously, disappointed we didn't get the win, but, I think it says a lot about our team.
What do you learn every night, though? I mean, there's a lesson learned, right, every night?
Yeah, tonight my teammates found me in the right spots, so I appreciate that a lot. But, it is, like I said, disappointing to lose, but, I mean, it's not something I've learned, but something that just stays, apparent to this team, which is how much we fight.
Talk about your game specifically. Yes, you were dished a lot from Kelly O and others, but you had a career night. I mean, 31, and it's just such a young time of your career. You got to feel good about what it is and what's to come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the ball bounced my way tonight. I'm always gonna play hard. So tonight just happened to go well.
More to come?
More to come, yeah, for sure.
real quick, too, this team with Ochai and even Chris Dunn, I thought both of them showed something, too, bouncing back after a tough game last night as well.
Yeah, no question. I mean, these guys are awesome. I love them to death. Great, great players, great fighters, great guys. Strong character, and that's apparent on the floor.
Yeah, sure is. Congratulations on the career night in Sacramento.
Appreciate it.
His previous career high was 23 against Toronto, eclipsed it with 31 tonight. Tim, when was the time that you first bought into Walker Kessler, because I feel like he came on pretty strong when he started playing. He didn't initially get in the rotation for this team. They had a lot of bodies in that 7-footer range, but once he started playing, it was pretty clear he could stay on the floor.
Yeah, I actually got to see him at minicamp, some kind of minicamp early on. I got invited to, and I, you know, was just there more than anything to kind of watch and see it. But his size and his ability to move around, I mean, in this positionless era that we're in, you certainly want your big guys to move like guards. And just watched his footwork, his ability to change ends, certainly his hands and plays above the rim, and then knew of his reputation as a shot blocker. So it got my attention, but minus the little physical parts that have come, I think he has acclimated as fast as a young big guy as I've seen probably in a long time. You know, without the guy that came into the league without, you know, major fanfare. He's really, in my mind, I think it was probably Mike Smith. You know, Mike Smith has sat in here and called him an all-star after, what was it, Jamil, about a week or two. So Mike was on the Walker train pretty quickly. Was it the first game?
First game that he played. Oh, goodness.
Yeah, he loved him.
Okay. Was he taking step-back threes when you were in that minicamp?
No. He was not taking step-back threes. It was all – everything I saw, they were just kind of putting in base packages and stuff.
Okay.
So it was more of a defensive and then, you know, some conditioning and shooting and things like that.
I forget who I was talking to about open gym in September, and they were telling me Walker was shooting threes. And they really didn't have a great expectation for him until it got into the preseason, and you could see what he could do once it was a more controlled basketball environment.
Well, and it's true. You've talked to him a bunch. He got into the game and was more of an offensive player before he became a defensive phenom. So I think like that little post move we saw tonight, certainly there's way more in his bag, right? And right now he's doing a great job of getting the baskets the old-fashioned way, running the floor, getting things, dump-offs. But he finishes at a very high rate down there. And his ability to kind of use the rim as a, you know, it finishes over his head a lot on the other side. But no, man, it's the sky's the limit for this kid. And if he starts being really a stretch guy, like a holy cow, look out.
And you really are right with that fanfare, because even on his own team in college, he was not the NBA prospect everybody was watching. It was Jabari Smith.
Absolutely.
Who went to Houston, and he's come on now, but Walker Kessler is making a case for himself to be all rookie first team.
No question. And I mean, he's impacting every night. I mean, he plays every single night and has a major, major impact on the game. And, you know, it's just exciting. The number of reps he's gotten, his development being able to be fast-tracked this year, that's a real positive.
31-11 for Walker Kessler in tonight's game. The Jazz drop it 121-113. The My Subaru Is campaign features real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse, and each has a unique story to share. Read some of the Mark Miller Subaru owner stories and share your own at MySubaruIs.com. When we return, Kelly Olynyk. We hear from him downstairs in Sacramento. This is Utah Jazz Basketball.
Jake Scott and the coach Tim Lacombe are breaking down how it all happened on the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show.
Oh, my!
No, Jake Scott, you'll have to settle for J.P. Chunga as the Jazz fall to the Kings, 121-113. Welcome in to Jazz Game Night, brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru. Featuring the My Subaru Is campaign, real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share your Subaru story at markmillersubaru.com. Tim, what is the longest concert you've been to? Because this Reba McEntire show just got out. It's been about 2.5 hours with Reba on stage.
She was belting it out for over 3 hours. Yeah, it was impressive. Longest one I have ever been to, I'll tell you what, Rush doesn't mess around.
Okay.
You know, unfortunately, Neil Peart's no longer with us. Greatest rock and roll drummer ever. But I saw a couple of their shows that went into the couple hour, you know, range. Outside of a festival, probably Rush. Okay. Put on the longest show.
You've never been to a Grateful Dead?
No, I never. I missed that somehow. I never missed. I never got the Dead. Maybe I'll get it on the latter end of my life.
The Boss also goes for a marathon show.
I've never seen The Boss. Yeah. Dave Matthews plays for.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I've seen him go for. Jamil's agreeing with me. But one of the great shows. Dave just gets. They ad lib a lot in their music. Crash turns into like a 20-minute ballad.
Yeah, they've ad libbed with their waist as well in certain cities, Chicago namely.
Correct.
Chick-fil-A foul shot review of the game. Download a whole new way to Chick-fil-A. Earn rewards with Chick-fil-A One app. Jazz go 10 of 16 from the free throw line. A little less than they did last night. They got to the line 34 times last time out when they played against the Bucks. But tonight, it was Kelly Olynyk. He went 0 for 2 from the line. Rather, check that 3 for 3 on his way to 17 points and 10 rebounds, and he spoke to Craig Bowlerjack after the game. Let's hear from him.
Hell of a game. Kelly, really just a word, hell of a game, especially after what happened last night against Milwaukee. What was the mindset coming in tonight? Because you battled to the final second.
Yeah, I mean, just go out there, another chance to compete. You know, we got, after a game like that, you kind of just put it in the rearview mirror and, go out and, you got another crack at playing an NBA basketball game, and that's kind of what we did. We played well the first half, kind of let our guard down a little bit in the third, and then I kept battling right to the end, and, proud of the guys. I just felt a little short.
You have a knack of flirting with triple-doubles. You were close again tonight.
Yeah, and never getting them, I don't know. But, just trying to do, a little bit of everything, help this team any way I can. Whatever that is, get everybody involved on both ends of the floor.
Talk about Walker. You guys connected quite a bit tonight. You're looking for the big, and the rookie has a career night. He was unstoppable at times and missed just two shots, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he was huge. Great game by him, great effort. When he runs the floor like that and puts pressure on the rim, that vertical spacing where you can just throw it up where other guys can't get it, that's a huge advantage for us. So, he's got to keep doing that, keep working to get better. But he was really, really good tonight, and that's what we need from him.
Finally, Kelly, what is it? There is just something, no matter who puts on the uniform, there's this no-quit mindset. And there's been a lot of players through this locker room, but it's contagious.
Yeah, we got a lot of good guys in here, high-character guys who love to play basketball and love to compete. That's what we're doing. Like I said, it's just another chance to go out and compete. And everybody in this locker room, likes each other. And we're just going out and playing together, playing hard, and enjoying ourselves. So obviously not enjoying losing, but, having fun playing the game.
Keep pushing, that triple-double's coming.
I appreciate it. Enjoy.
Thanks, KO.
Heck of a game from Kelly Olynyk. 17 points, 10 assists, 8 rebounds. And I look at FGAs, Tim, like I did last night, third most FGAs, third most field goal attempts. He had 12 of them in this one.
He was point Kelly tonight. He was able to exploit mismatches and, get a guy who he could kind of bully. And he was one of those guys off reversals that really created offense by just vertically driving to the rim, making the defense collapse and the ball's able to move. So I love Kelly. I think he's been a huge part of why the Jazz have been as good as they have this year. Have a five-man that can facilitate, that can space the floor with integrity. Not a guy that, he's not going to make that many. Because Kelly, you got to be out there. He'll bury shots. But he's been a great addition to this year's team. And I think it's been nice with a guy like that for Walker to play alongside as well, because he finds him so much, when they're in there together. So I really like Kelly, and it's nice to see him have a great night. I agree with Bowler. He may be the guy that gets the triple-double.
Yeah, he can do so much. What is it about Gonzaga bigs that they can pass so well?
They trust him. They have to handle it a lot. And much like Sabonis does with the Kings, there's a lot of, ball screen roll, but a lot of catch it, and handoff. A lot of handoff action. So more than anything, I think they don't, like Will doesn't, put guys in boxes. They let them grow their game. Sabonis was not a known three-point shooter in college. You know, that was not where he lived because he just, you know, why would you if you can just dominate anyone in the game down low? But certainly added that three-point shot more to his game. And but, yeah, so Gonzaga bigs, they're well-versed, and it's because of the style. They play a pro-style offense, too.
It's very modern, and you can tell Kelly, he's a Danny guy. He is a Danny Ainge guy through and through, plays hard, smart player, knows what to do offensively.
Can make shots.
Can make shots, is a shooter. You know, you can keep him out on the floor in a big playoff game. And he's been on successful playoff teams in his entire career.
Yeah, to me, that's one thing that Danny has always said. You know, a guy that can facilitate. They can catch it. They can make a basket. But then has the ability, the IQ, you know, when guys are cutting to be able to find them. Understand that a second big comes to you, Walker's creeping along the baseline, you can find him, and Kelly finds him all the time. So, yeah, exactly that.
They connected on an alley-oop earlier on in this game as well. The My Subaru Is campaign features real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse, and each has a unique story to share. Read some at the MarkMillerSubaru.com, where you can read those. We'll get some more thoughts and wrap this one up as the Jazz fall to the Kings 121-113. This is Utah Jazz Basketball.
In the books. Now, let's get to the reaction. Hear from the coaches, the players, as well as the coach, Tim Lacombe. It's the Mark Miller Utah Jazz Postgame Show. Here's Jake Scott.
JP Chunga in for Jake Scott. But welcome in to Jazz Game Night, brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru, featuring the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share your Subaru story at MarkMillerSubaru.com. Jazz fall for the third straight in a row, 121-113 tonight against the Kings. Defensively, Tim, how did they manage playing not only this zone, but against one of the best offensive teams in the entire league, the best in terms of offensive rating? And they didn't have De'Aaron Fox in this one out here, but they still had a lot of offensive threats.
They did. Fox creates such a different type of problem because he's so deadly in the mid-range, and it's such a... You know, for the Jazz, when they're in man, you know, they're not going to give up shots, but certainly you're going to give non-paint twos, contested non-paint twos, kind of what you want people to take. So he would create more of an issue. But I think what they did was they kept Sacramento on their heels a little bit. They would show man. They would come out, you know, in zone. It's one thing that I've been really impressed with, you know, the entire season is Coach Hardy's and the staff's way of prepping and taking chances. You know, we talked about that, how the zone evolved, you know, with Kelly. Was it Kelly and...
Kelly Lowry.
Lowry. And, you know, that it was a collaborative effort. But I like the way that they talk the game. I spoke about that mini camp I went to this summer, and I actually had to go, you know, they pointed me to the coach's locker room to go change. And I hadn't met any of the coaches, so I walked into my little area and kind of just kept to myself. But coaches' locker rooms are awesome because the banter is constantly hoop, right? You just talk hoop, talk players. And so when I was in there and hadn't been in a coach's locker room for a while, I heard, you know, I think it was Lamar Skeeter and Coach Hardy, and they were talking about how you defend, the best possible way to defend Kyrie and KD in pick and roll. And this is in July or, you know, whatever month it is. But just, you know, these guys think the game. They're students of the game. And it shows in their preparation. I think they have a really good understanding of personnel in the league. You know, they've got a great database of that. But they're not afraid to try things. You know, they don't just roll out the same look and say, hey, they've got to beat us at our thing. They're willing to try things. And I think that's been the most impressive thing to me.
And how difficult is it to install a new defense virtually over a 5-day break, middle of the season. It's more than middle of the season. It's late in the season. You're going down the stretch. There were less than 20 games left when they installed the zone and started really relying on it to get some stops, starting with that Boston game.
You do have to have a couple of days to string together, and I thought that was the interesting part. Is they had that they played Monday, Saturday,
yeah, Monday in Miami, and then at home.
Right. So yeah. During that time, I thought that their their use of time was really good, and I think with a zone, particularly if you can just get base rules, you don't want to suffocate guys in the zone where they're questioning like, oh, I stepped too far into this quadrant. You want it to kind of be. Like Tark called his zone the amoeba. You want it to be a living organism that kind of reads and reacts just like you do on offense. And so I feel like that's kind of what this zone is. It's better when they communicate, and that's a huge part of defense anyway, point and talk. But it's been a nice change, and I think a team like the Kings, who really does rely on cadence of handoff, all the cutting and movement, it makes them have to do something else.
They seem Warriors-ish in their movement.
They do,
the Kings.
Yeah, they fly around, and it's constant. And then they've got multiple guys that can, if you relax or you're looking to see where the screen's coming, they're driving right past you because they can make plays. So it's a fun team. I really like it. I will say this, as fun as it is, and I'm really glad that they're going to be in the playoffs, they're not going to be in there very long because that defense is – The defense, and Fox is not going to help the defense. So him not being out there tonight was not, bad for their defense. But the Jazz just got shots way too easy, and that's the second time they played him here in a short period of time, and I've come away not impressed with their defense.
What is it about that team? Because Mike Brown was the defensive coordinator in Golden State before he took this job. He was known when he was in Cleveland as a defensive guy. And when he came to L.A., that was the other thing that he was going to bring to Kobe and that team, that iteration of the Lakers. Why can't they defend?
Well, I look at their perimeter guys. I think it comes down to that a lot. We talked about it last year with the Jazz. And tonight, Davion Mitchell's 6 feet tall. And I thought the Jazz did a nice job of getting him in mismatches and being able to kind of exploit that. And then I think Murray and Herter, for as good as they are offensively, laterally they're not great. So, again, basketball, all you're trying to do is gain an advantage. You want to have to think about the ball. And, the Jazz constantly put the Kings in that situation where the ball hits the floor, you're on a direct line, somebody's got to step over, and the Jazz are so great at making that extra pass that that's all you need. And so it's not like they're just not. In my mind, they just don't have great wing defenders, and their size is a little bit limiting too.
Is there a matchup that in the playoffs gets hunted on that team?
I think Herter gets hunted a little bit. He's tough, though. Murray is going to have to prove it. Mm-hmm. He played 37 minutes tonight. He's a rookie. He's got good size at 6'8", but I just watched him a couple times getting beat off the bounce by guys he probably shouldn't get beat off the bounce by. That's just a cursory look. I haven't watched him a ton, but that's just my, blink.
It was pretty interesting to hear Mike Brown when he was here for Jazz Kings, and he was talking about Keegan Murray, and he said the next step for him is when I ask him the question, what do you provide when you're on the floor beyond spacing? And then Keegan did not have a good answer for him. He didn't have an answer for Mike Brown. When he asked him that, and he was up front. Next time I ask that to you, you better have an answer beyond spacing, because I'm Mike Brown. I'm 40 years old. I can go out there and provide spacing if I hit a couple shots out there. That for him, I'm certainly would like to see him show something more as he's going through his year, because he's a pretty good rookie in his own right. He's making threes at a good clip. He had those corner threes in the first half that really did the Jazz in and put them in a hole, but providing more than spacing is something that you have to look at.
Yeah, great point. And he comes from Iowa. They constantly are a team that loves to get up and down and score. That was a little bit the book on us at BYU. And so you have to understand, hey, I'm in a different league. I'm playing different guys, and defense is at a premium. for my position. So certainly time to work on it. And I didn't feel like it was something that can't be fixed. He just looks to be, you know, that's something you can fix actually with, because of his length, you can actually just get him to close a little shorter and use his length to his advantage. And then you can, you know, you can cut them off on the angle a little bit better if you give them a little bit more space.
Brother's pretty good at Iowa, too.
Yeah, they really good. Mm-hmm. And to your point, the Kings end up tonight with 12 corner threes. They were 9 for 12.
So they cut that off in the second half. What was it, 8 or 9 in the first
nine.
Half?
9, so they only got 3.
There you
three,
go.
Right? Yeah. And a huge part of it was they were getting a lot in zone because when that wing defender comes up, it's all about your stance. This is something I'm sure you saw a ton with Coach Boeheim at Syracuse, but you want to, you know, that ball gets to the free throw line extended on the wing, and as you're closing out to it, if you have to be shading to the corner so that pass can't be easily made. If they want to drive it into the guts of the zone and into your strength, fine, but you just can't let that ball get to the corner because there's not a guy to get there. And the Jazz, I felt like they did a better job of taking that pass away and fixed it.
It was impressive to see them in that second half, especially as the game, you thought it was getting away from them. They still were able to get some stops and try to keep this one close. Utah Jazz, Most Valuable Educators, presented by Instructure, the makers of Canvas. Throughout the season, the Utah Jazz and Instructure will recognize 21 MVEs. Each one will receive a visit from Jazz Bear, a $1,000 grant, a personalized jersey, and tickets to watch a Jazz game in the suite. Go to NBA.com/jazz/MVE to nominate your favorite educator now. We'll be back with more to finish things up and give a final thought from Coach Lacombe, but the My Subaru Is campaign features real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse, and each has a unique story to share. Read some of the Mark Miller Subaru owner stories and share your own at MySubaruIs.com. Jazz fall to the Kings, 121-113. Final thoughts when we return. This is Utah Jazz Basketball.
Score is printed. Jake Scott and the coach Tim Lacombe are breaking down how it all happened on the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show.
Oh my! Hlinik on the near side, hesitates, now turns the corner, drives to the rim, fouled and finishes. Kelly Hlinik took Matthew Dellavedova to the rack. He took him down under and drew the foul.
Not Australian, but he got it done. Went to Gonzaga. Kelly Olynyk, 17 points, 10 assists, 8 rebounds as the Jazz fall 121-113 to the Kings. And that was the play of the game, brought to you by Larry H. Miller Dealerships for service, sales, and selection. LHMauto.com, driven by you. Jazz game night. JP Chunga taking the place for Jake Scott. In with Tim Lacombe, and it is brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru, featuring the My Subaru Is campaign, real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share your Subaru story at markmillersubaru.com. Loss drops the Jazz, rather keeps them at 12 in the West. At the 11th spot, though, in the West, outside the play-in zone, Dallas Mavericks. That has to be quite the disaster in Texas for them.
They come from a land down under.
Men at work?
Just waiting to do that.
Men at work, right?
Yeah, that's what he was referring to. And in that little clip, too, we had two WCC greats, Kelly Olynyk and Matthew Dellavedova.
The rivalry.
The rivalry, and both those guys got their fair share of my skin. In their careers. I totally forgot what you're talking about.
Standings,
now.
Dallas Mavericks in 11.
Oh, can you believe it? And Luka has lost his love for the game all of a sudden. So I guess 2 weeks with Kyrie will do that to you.
That was a desperate move. I thought it was desperate in the moment. It continues to show and reek of desperation because you don't turn to an unreliable guy like Kyrie Irving when you're in a good spot. Good teams just don't do that originally. It's a move where Luka is looking around at his teammates and sees, I need someone to run with. Christian Wood ain't it. Christian Wood isn't my Robin. I need a better Robin than that. And he goes to Kyrie Irving, and this is not what you think you have when you have Luka Doncic, who is a top five player in the league. You have to be safely in the playoffs with a player like that.
Yeah, and it's, to me, it's going to be a major climb, because they're just not playing good basketball. And I think it's systematically, it's the two guys with obviously do really well with the ball in their hand and have high usage rate, and that's kind of the way they've made their name. And you're saying, hey, I need you to share. You know, my two-year-old grandson does not love to share much. And it's something you got to obviously condition young players. But we're talking about two veterans, two very established and well-known guys. And, yeah, to me it was just from the beginning. Plus the other thing, Dallas is they're so porous defensively, and that move does nothing but make them worse. You know, so
and it's strange because last year they figured something out. They were good defensively by their standards. They were top 15. You know, I think they ended up with a top 10 defense, in fact, last season. So what they've done has not gone so well. 3-7 over their last 10 so far. OKC, New Orleans, Los Angeles Lakers, and the Timberwolves so far in the play-in zone. The Pelicans got a pretty big win against the Clippers earlier tonight. Do you see any of those teams dropping out of that play-in zone?
Probably not. I was actually just looking. So the Jazz are ninth in the entire league, right? They're ninth worst record. So we're kind of getting into that time where we kind of watch that too. But say this, the teams you're talking about, the Thunder and the Lakers, that won't fall behind below the line, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, 7 through 10, Minnesota and the Lakers and the Pelicans all at 37-37. They're 500. And then OKC at 36-38. Do one of those teams fall out of the 7 through 10 spot?
I think so.
Is it the Pelicans?
Pelicans are kind of hot right now.
I know.
I mean, Ingram had another great night tonight. I'm hoping it's the Wolves. And nothing against Rudy Gobert, but that's where my hope is. And they're right there to be had. It just depends. But I guess Kat's back now, too. So,
and if they get Edwards.
Less likely, right.
If they get Edwards, that could fix a
couple. Yeah, maybe not. That will be, if one does drop, I guess, obviously, maybe Dallas rises up above. But I don't think Dallas is going to get there either. So I agree with Thurl. The last nine games will be about as exciting nine games, like for the West, that we've seen in some time.
It would be quite a storm would come for Luka if they do not make the playoffs. Well, I'm sure it would be a lot of pressure on Mark Cuban.
Now, Luka and Lowry, I think they could coexist.
You think?
Oh, yeah. I think you could set the table for him all night long. So if he's unhappy, just rebuild with Kyrie and move that big piece.
That's why you got all those picks. If you're Danny Ainge,
there you go.
Use them, push them into the table. Just, hey, how many picks do you want?
What are we talking here?
Yeah.
Oh, I got another one. Hold on a minute. This one's in my sock. I totally had forgotten. This one got washed, and it's in my coat pocket. They've got so many picks, it's like that.
15 lightly or unprotected picks from now, first rounders, I'm talking, now until 2029.
And last year, we went through the entire draft and couldn't make a move because we didn't have one. So that's in 1 year. It's crazy.
Zero last season. And then, I mean, if you want to add the fact that you get Ochai and Walker as first-round picks, 17. And those first-round picks have worked out pretty well in Walker and Ochai.
And how about the three? So Ochai, Walker, Simone this week all set career highs.
Yes.
That's a good thing for development. That's something you could run an ad saying, we develop our players. And they do.
It was quite the scene to see Walker get his career high 31 points, 11 rebounds. First Jazz rookie to put up those type of numbers. What is your final thought off of this game as the Jazz lose 121-113, but they've got the Phoenix Suns coming up on Monday.
Just really impressed. Really impressed, I guess, out of the gate with Walker Kessler. His season has been stuff of dreams, I'm imagine, for him. But he just continues to get better, and it's just neat to see all the hard work pay off for him. You know, we talked a bunch about Kelly Olynyk. I thought he was a pivotal part of why the Jazz were able to stay in the game. And then credit other young guys like Ochai, who did not have it great and found it. You know, he's a guy that defensively just does so many things, three blocks, you know, from his position. So I was surprised that they were able on a back-to-back with that team stay as close as they were. And I guess we've got Phoenix on Monday night here. So that'll be a fun one. Phoenix is always, it brings out the, people get excited when Phoenix comes to town.
Oh yeah, Booker, with all the battles that he had with Donovan Mitchell, the animosity that those two fan bases have towards each other. We might see Pace Mannion in the house.
I saw him the other day, actually.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a Arizona resident, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, bring him up. Tom Chambers, where you at? Come on down. Another Arizona guy, former Jazz man. Great Ute as well back in the day, right?
One of the great dunks, he climbed the ladder and went right over as a Phoenix Sun. Used to be in the NBA highlights packages they'd run. But yeah, Tom Chambers is a legend.
There you go. Phoenix coming up on Monday. We'll have you covered as pregame coverage gets started at 6 o'clock. Game time is at 7. The My Subaru Is campaign features real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some of the Mark Miller Subaru owner stories and share your own at MySubaruIs.com. Tim, yeah, done with me. You're going to get Jake next game as the Jazz take on the Suns.
Well, I loved hanging out with you. It's fun talking hoop during the game, obviously on the air. But I feel smarter after hanging with JP.
Sure about that?
100%. I loved working with you. Thanks for coming in for my Hawaiian buddy.
You're too kind. I'm looking forward to seeing Jake with a tan and a beverage coming up on Monday. So
and hopefully a smile, Jamil, for once, right? Like, come in here and smile every now and again, Jake Scott.
That does it for us tonight. For Tim Lacombe, the broadcast assistant, and Jamil in the producer's booth, I'm JP Chunga. We'll see you on Monday as the Jazz take on the Suns. Pre-game coverage begins at 7 o'clock. Tonight, they lost to the Kings 121-113. This has been Utah Jazz Basketball.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.